Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dynamic Dojo Show with Restita and Robert, your source for martial arts talk radio.
3, 2, 1, we're live.
Good evening, listeners. This is Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Restita and Robert. I'm Restita, and I'm joined by my great co-host, Sifu Robert Deal. Hey, Sifu Bob, how you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Nothing too out of the ordinary has been happening lately, except, You know what's funny? You'll know why later. I was watching this older Cosby episode, literally. It's the one on right now. And
Oh, wow.
Claire turned 46. Gentlemen, do not say stupid stuff to your wife or your girlfriend like, you still look good, because they did that the entire morning to her, all her kids, and she said she felt good until she met her up with her family. And I believe that.
You still look good. You know, it's stuff like that that, you know, we as women, we don't quite know how to take compliments like that. I mean, granted, it's meant as a compliment, I'm sure, you know, but it's kind of like, you know, how do you take that? Still look good? Meaning that, you know, people expected us to get ugly as we got older? I mean, how does that work? I don't know. But anyway, so listeners, our phone number here is 347-677-0699. Stay tuned for our second half. Not the second half. It's like the second three quarters of the show.
Oh,
as
my
we
God.
The second half. We'll call it the second half, where we're going to have several nominees from into the Masters Hall of Fame. We've got Prince Loeffler, Raul Ruiz. Is it Reyes? Raul Reyes, Mark Stoner, James Niemann, and Emmanuel Thompson. They'll be joining us in segments at around 6:30 and onward. So right on. Well, let's go ahead and start with the show, unless you've got any cool other happenings over there in Burbank.
No, not a thing.
Okay.
My daughter distracted me, and she was like, where are my towels? And I lost my train of thought for a second.
That's
you know, I'm a guy, I get distracted very easily. I have a little shiny object.
Ooh, look, a butterfly. I got to tell the listeners this story, because I was reminded of it yesterday. This was years ago. I'd like maybe say like almost 20 years ago, 15 years ago or something like that. Me and my business partner, Cheryl, we went out to Sedona, Arizona to visit Grandmaster Chris Petrilli. We were going to go train there and stuff like that. And he took us out to the Red Rocks, a beautiful, beautiful scenery, beautiful Red Rocks and desert scenery and stuff like that. And I was videotaping them training, and really good stuff that Chris was doing and really good stuff that Cheryl was doing. And Cheryl did this really cool umbrella block. Now, she had always said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to use the go behind the head umbrella block. I don't know if it's actually viable, because, you know, who's going to try and eat the back of the head? Well, Chris would, right? So he came in for this really great, you know, inverted strike, and she came around her head, blocked, and it was sweet. But I was videotaping, and I got distracted. And literally at that same time when Cheryl did that one in a million move against Chris Petrilli, it will never happen again, I got distracted by this really weird colored butterfly. I kid you not. And I followed the butterfly, and I said, oh, well, that's interesting, and then went back to them, right? And then later on that night, Master Cheryl goes, oh, my gosh, that cool wing and umbrella block. I can't wait to see it. So we watched the videotape. and they watched my camera go up in the air and completely miss Cheryl's move, and Cheryl was so pissed. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm never going to live that down until the day I die. Oh, well. All right, so.
Right. And you know, I carry a grudge for a really long time.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, you know, I was a locksmith,
mm-hmm.
and I once unlocked this guy's car.
Mm-hmm.
He locked his keys in the trunk. We told him the price before we left the door, before him and
mm-hmm.
I left to go unlock his car. I unlocked
mm-hmm.
his car. That son of a bitch said, all I've got is 15, that's all you're going to get. To this day,
oh.
I see that son of a bitch. And I comment. He was in a cigar store yesterday. He was asking the owner a question. He leaves. I said, don't trust that guy. He's owed me 20 bucks for 35 years.
Yeah, right? Oh, my God. Now, what was the fee at that time?
It was 35 bucks.
$35. Oh, my gosh. At that time, yeah, because now it's like 75.
At least.
Something
at
like
least.
That. Man, cheapo. Cheapos. All right. Sorry, listeners. We just went on a tangent there. Let's get on with
yes,
the show.
Did.
Let's get on with the shout-outs. I've got one seminar that I just found that I want to put a shout-out to. It is on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, so look it up. This is the Body Harmony Seminar, and this is featuring Black Belt Hall of Fame inductee Shihan Terry Wilson. And this is going to be a seminar incorporating the Total Body Harmony and Muscle Memory Method, which will hopefully get people to learn a little bit about maximum self-defense with minimal effort. So you want to contact who? Where do I? Where's the thing? This is so small. This flyer. Everyone, I need a bigger monitor. Okay, let me back up a little bit. This will be next week, Saturday, July 19th, 11 a.m. And then you can get pictures and stuff like that with Master Terry and get your questions answered at a barbecue at 5 p.m. And this is going to be held at the Wolf Den Martial Arts Academy at 6012 East Highway 50 in Dayton. Oh, NV. Is that Nevada? NV?
Dayton. NV to Nevada, yeah.
Yeah, Dayton, Nevada. And you can call 775-443-6436. Some of the stuff that you'll learn, because he's going to be co-teaching with several other instructors, some of the stuff you're going to learn are vital point striking, taught by Soke Dave McNeil, dynamic motion, taught by Sensei John Atkinson, strengthening your chi and maximizing your training with body awareness with Sensei Susan Fritz. And you're also going to learn some other stuff about healing arts in regards to healing those sore, achy muscles and getting better from injury. So go check that out Saturday, July 19th, 11 to 4 p.m. at Wolf Den Martial Arts Academy. It's the Body Harmony Seminar. Check it out. It's on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. All right. And on to you, Sifu Bob.
Okay. Well, there are a couple martial arts history museum events coming up this month. Actually, within the next couple months,
mm-hmm.
we've got Donnie Williams Day happening next Saturday. We've got Saul Kowalu Day happening on the 26th. We've got the Honor Society happening on September 6th at the Burbank Holiday Inn. All the events at the museum are going to be held at 2913 North Magnolia Boulevard in the city of Burbank. And let's move on. I guess I skipped one. So let's move on to some Masters Hall of Fame stuff, since that is now in 3 weeks from Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got
mm-hmm.
some wonderful Masters getting inducted, and it's going to be on August 1st. And I'm sort of sitting here stalling and stumbling, trying to open up my seminar schedule here, which is right there. I got it now.
I've done that.
And I'm going, oh, my God, what am I thinking? We're going to have, first it's going to be the banquet, of course, on Friday night, with all the inductees getting their awards, meet all the seminar instructors and everything else, which will be a great night. We don't know what the entertainment's going to be. They never tell us. It's been, you know, dancers, hula. We've had taiko drums. We've had what's that art called with the bone arrow when you got inducted, Sifu?
Kudo.
Kudo, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, the seminar schedule goes as follows. This will be on the 2nd of August in the same hotel, the Hyatt Regency in Long Beach, California. It's going to be Mike Sando teaching combative kung fu, Mark Shuey teaching Cane Master's Cane System, Jacob Bresler teaching Kapop. If you're not familiar with Kapop, it's the father to Krav Maga. Michelle Manu, which I happened to see yesterday at a tournament, is going to teach Kualu, Lua, weapons, and open hand techniques. Robert Parm is going to be teaching kickboxing. Darren Tabone is going to be teaching Serrata Eskrima. And Rosita Diaz is going to be teaching blending the arts concepts to combat. It's going to be a lot of fun that weekend. You don't have to come. You don't have to be inducted. You can just show up. These seminars alone are worth the dinner money, are worth the dinner tickets. Absolutely.
And the dinner tickets. Go ahead.
If you want to buy dinner tickets, go to mastershalloffame.org.
And the dinner tickets are only $150. And, you know, our CEO, Hanchi Daniel Heck, he goes through hell and high water to find venues that will have the very best food that can be offered to the inductees and to their guests. And it's gonna be at the Hyatt Regency in Long Beach this year, I believe, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, and Hanchi Dan actually visited the venue like a few months ago, I think, right? To kind of check out, you know, their food offerings and stuff like that, and pretty much hire a chef for this. So, you know, $150 for an evening of great people and martial artists and seminars. I mean, you know, come on down, folks. Get your tickets. MastersHallOfFame.org. All right.
You know, we do have a caller already. He's going to talk about his event. But there is something that if our listeners didn't notice, we did things a little bit out of order this time.
Yeah, we did.
There is something
that
we always do. And, you know, I know you don't think, he's a guy who's never going to notice this because guys don't notice anything. But remember, I've got the notes. I know what we're supposed to do and in what order.
Yeah, I need to pull mine up again. Okay, now I got them.
And you blew right past the birthdays.
Yes, I did.
Why is that? Is it because today might be yours? Because that's the reason.
You know, I think that might be it. Well, today was, like, completely different because I normally go through my whole, you know, do my morning thing and, you know, do my PAMA board meeting in the morning and then go and teach. But I decided to take today off because it's my birthday, and it just so happened that all the Wushu students either had family stuff to do or were sick or something else, so they couldn't come. So I kind of went, well, that worked out really well, didn't it? So I took the day off. But birthdays, I'll go ahead and shout out to a couple of my friends, and then Bob will shout out to a couple of his friends. I want to send a shout out there to Renee Lacoste, who is the parent of one of my Mighty Might students at my studio. Birthday shout out to Linnell Christie, an old friend from high school, and a shout out to Guru Basar Jerry Jacobs, all of us born today, July 13th, and that's all of my friends.
Okay, on September 4th, or on September, wow. Where did I pull that out?
Masters Hall of Fame, I don't know. I've got Masters Hall of Fame on the brain.
No kidding.
I know, right?
On July 14th, Master Tommy Bukansky, the Hall of Fame ambassador and alumni, out of Las Vegas. His birthday is on the 14th. Felix Macias, which we've had on the show before, his birthday is on the 15th. And, of course, yours is today.
Woohoo! Happy birthday, everyone that was born in the week of July 13th through the 19th. And I hope everyone has a
incoming transmission.
What the hell is that?
Incoming transmission.
Let me check that.
Dude, greetings. This is Darth Vader, Lord of the Sith and Commander of the Galactic Empire.
Whoa!
Good evening, sir.
It was during my meditation that I sensed a great disturbance in the Force. It was then I realized it was your birthday. Most impressive. Your age has increased your control of your emotions. This will give you a clearer path to the dark side. But before that, let me deliver you this specialized message, compliments of the Galactic Empire. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday from the dark side. Happy birthday to you. Remember, with control of your fear and anger, the dark side will be a powerful ally. Join me as we conquer the galaxy and buy vast amounts of lottery tickets.
Dude, is that you? Do you have that on your control board?
No, I didn't touch anything.
Well, I guess, thank you, Lord Vader.
It's
anyhow,
funny, you know, though, he says that you, as you get older, you control your emotions.
Uh-huh.
But that bladder goes to another level, though.
I know, right? Oh my goodness! Well, thank you, Lord Vader. Yeah, happy birthday, everybody. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show. On to you, Bob.
Well, I'm going to bring on a good friend of mine, ambassador to the Martial Arts Hall of Fame, that has been a martial artist for 40 years, and he has this very, very special and worthwhile charity coming up that is going to be at the Kazon Dojo in Torrance, California. Please help me welcome to the show, William Christopher Ford. William, welcome.
Woo-hoo. Hey, how are you guys doing?
Pretty good,
doing
pretty good.
Great.
Good to hear from you. 40 years. Thank you so much, Sensei William. And wow, 40 years. 40 years. We hear that you have a really cool event coming up. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Well, we have an event on July the 20th, which is next Sunday, I chose July the 20th because it's also the anniversary of Bruce Lee's passing, and he was definitely an influence to me, an inspiration as to so many other people in the world, and thought it would be very significant to celebrate my 40 years of study, as it were, on that day. So, I was actually reading a book by Benny the Jet Archidez. It's his autobiography that he had released recently. And he was talking about his student, Sensei Faribor's. And for Sensei Faribor's 50th birthday, he actually sparred 50 opponents. And I thought, wow, that was really cool, really great idea. And I thought, well, how about 40 opponents? Because I don't want to do 50, but 40 opponents for 40 years. So I thought, you know, it might be really cool to spar 40 rounds, and that would be the celebration of my 40 years of study, and then I wouldn't have to do it for another 40 years. So when I'm 88 or whatever it is, I'll do it all over again, but only with people who are in their 70s. But I also wanted to give back to the community, you know. So what we did is, you know, we partnered with St. Jude Children's Hospital, and they're located in Memphis, Tennessee. They were founded by the actor Danny Thomas, and the hospital is totally dedicated to taking care of kids who have cancer. And they foot the bill for everything. The parents don't get a bill ever. And so they basically pay for transportation, lodging, food, and treatment of this disease for these kids. And that's the charity that we wanted to give back to. So my goal is to raise $10,000 for this charity. We are about just shy of nine. We are about $8,820 that we've gotten in donations already.
Wow.
So we're in the final push. And anybody who wants to find out more about this can go to the Kaizen Dojo website. It's kaizendojo.com. And immediately there's some information there. There's a video, a PSA that is was shot and edited by my friend Isal Trinidad. He totally donated his services for that. And there's a link right to our St. Jude Kaizen Dojo donation page, which people can go to, and they can donate directly online. Or they can come to the dojo and write a check to St. Jude's, either before or on the day of, or even after the event. We would be happy to take the donation. And so far, everybody has been very, very overwhelming. It's been awesome.
Very cool.
Very
now,
cool.
Are they going to be 1 minute rounds, or how are you going to do it?
Well, they're 1 minute rounds. It's not like a Kyokushin type of kumite. It's not UFC style. You know, it's very safe and fun, and it's light contact. And some of the opponents are black belt friends of mine. You know, we have people like Prince to Prince Loeffler and. Russell Anamizu, and Russell is being inducted into the Masters Hall of Fame. So is Mr. Prince Loeffler this year. These guys are, been around for a while, and are martial artists of great, repute and great skill. And we're great friends, And there's others who are coming down. Mario Schopp from San Diego, who is teaches blind community and. Quite a few people, and also some of my own students are getting in on the action too, so they get to spar with me for a minute. I even have to open it up to some of the little kids because they want in on the action, so I have a preliminary warm-up round for myself where I have a bunch of the kids who each get a minute with me, and that's better than having one of those dunk machines at the carnival. They get to beat on their sensei for a whole minute. So it's going to be quite
awesome.
An event, and there's going to be lots of food there for people. We're doing a potluck style, for all the families are coming together and bringing food. So, if you guys are available, come on down. I know that Cecil lives in Seattle, so that's a bit of a drive. But if Bob's available, come on down, buddy.
Oh, very cool, very cool. This is a really worthwhile organization. I thank God every day I have two healthy kids. I could not go through what those parents go through. And God bless Danny Thomas, what he did. Do you have a notable coming up? Now, Prince Loeffler is our first guest tonight.
Oh, you know what? I did not know that.
He's going to be on in maybe about 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, I might have to call back and talk to his sensei, Loeffler.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, he's a great guy and a great martial artist, great teacher. He's been a real gentleman and a real, just a great example of a martial artist. And we live very, very close to each other, And so for a long time, we had not met. And we just, kind of knew each other on Facebook. And we finally connected, and a lot of respect for him. Very, very nice man, and very dedicated teacher. So I'm very glad that he's receiving some recognition this year for some of his accomplishments.
Oh, very cool. Now, those who don't know, what is the Kaizen Dojo's address?
With all due respect, it's pronounced Kaizen, Bob, so just so you know, and... Kaizen Dojo is located at 1824 West 182nd Street. That's 1824 West 182nd Street in Torrance, California. And the cross streets are 182nd and Western. It's right in the 99-cent store plaza, so you can't miss it.
Oh, very cool. But you do know that I have received and pronounced all the hard words, right?
I do now.
I wasn't fast enough to like type in my text messages. It's like Kaizen.
Yeah, and if I may, Bob, just so your listeners know, Kaizen is a Japanese word that means continual improvement, and that's why We call it the Kaizen Dojo. It's like the place where people learn the art of continual improvement. And so, you know, we're trying to hopefully have students will walk away from that, and the teachers as well, you know, improve ourselves not only as martial artists but as people. So it ties in really well with, you know, this this charity event that we're doing. You know, it's definitely in the spirit of what we founded the dojo on. So
very awesome. Very cool. So if anyone's in the Torrance, California area, look up the Kaizen Dojo and look up Sensei William. There next Sunday, watch him spar 40 people and make a donation to St. Jude's, folks, because it's a wonderful, wonderful organization. Right on.
Absolutely.
Very cool. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Sensei William, for calling us. And if you get a chance later in about like maybe 10 minutes, feel free to call back in and talk to Sensei Loeffler.
I will definitely do that. And, you know, I wanted to thank you both also for continuing to produce a quality show and for having me on and letting me talk about my cause. Really appreciate that.
Oh,
no,
it's our
problem.
Pleasure.
No problem.
It's our pleasure.
And before I go, I just wanted to also to congratulate Sifu Rusty on her induction into the Martial Arts History Museum Honors Awards. She's being honored in September, and I'm going to definitely be there. So I wanted to acknowledge you for that, too, and it's well-deserved, for sure.
Now, what moron do you think nominated her?
I think a very, very smart moron, and that's all I'm going to say.
Well, now, William, why don't you stay on the line with us? Because we've got Prince actually coming on, and he's calling in right now, so why don't you stay on?
I'll stay on.
Cool. Awesome. Now, I just want to remind our listeners of our call-in number here, 347-677-0699, and we're going to several nominees into the Masters Hall of Fame joining us today. We'll have Sensei Prince Loeffler joining us pretty soon here. Raul Reyes, Stoner, James Neiman, and Emmanuel Thompson. So stay on, folks, and give us a call if you're friends, students, family of all of these great masters. All right. Well, Bob, let's go right into our guests, shall we? You want to take that line?
I think so. Let's go in. Let me click that mic button, and oh, I love when that happens.
Oh,
let's
it does
click
not work.
It again. Sensei Loeffler, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. What did I win?
You
won a
dryer. Spencer.
They get like a 1-year supply of a laundry detergent.
Nice aroni.
Right.
There
you go.
And
there
journal wax.
Oh, hey.
How are you guys?
Really good.
Good.
Thanks
how
for
are
joining
you?
Us today.
I'm great. I'm here, and I just was on hold, and I listened to hearing my great friend Sensei Ford. Loved the man. I loved that guy. Well, not in that way, but, you know, in a manly way.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
What do they call it? Bromance.
That's right.
Sensei William is still on the line with us.
So, you know, I thank you for the nomination and everything. And like I said, martial arts for me is, you know, I'm perhaps the new generation, but I'm glad to have friends like Ford Sensei. So that's great.
Oh, he's right here. You can tell him yourself.
Well, Sensei, thank you very much for the sentiments. So glad that you're on the air with Sifu Rusty and Sifu Bob. They're great people. And, you know, again, I think that you are you know, a great example to the martial arts and, you know, definitely a great example of what a teacher should be. I can clearly see that in your students as well. And, yeah, it's definitely an honor and a pleasure to know you.
Well, the honor is, you know, twofold, and I thank you for extending the friendship. So, you know, the only way we celebrate this, Sensei, is we got to go to a buffet and stay there for 3 hours.
Sounds good.
I'm joking. You don't have to stay for 3 hours, maybe 2.5.
Right.
You guys are the guys that they kick out of these all-you-can-eat places, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah, you know, the owners are always looking at me, and they've got the cooks and the busboys behind them. Like, you know, are we ready to kick this guy out? It looks like, you know, he can fight.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
I'm
awesome.
Always mentioning this, you know, I am dangerous around the buffet tables.
Keep those forks away from Sensei Loeffler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you again for joining us. Can you, what we'd like the listeners to find out a little bit about is your martial arts background. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background in martial arts, how you got started it and all that stuff?
Well, sure. You know, it is like a running joke. Back in 1985, I had a choice whether I was going to take piano or karate. Piano was loaded with students, so I decided to take karate. And since then, it was martial arts, and my first sensei was Mitch Yamashita.
Mm-hmm.
And an awesome guy, you know, and he is the one who taught me the first time. And since then on, I train in taekwondo, you know, like every young guys are searching for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And as you continued on, and in 1993, I decided to do karate. And I stayed on ever since. And my current sensei is Ishii Sensei, Matsubayashi Karate.
And oh, cool.
So I'm still there. I'm still here. I'm still punching. I'm still kicking. And just kind of make the short story short, there it is.
Very cool. Very cool. Awesome. Now, just out of curiosity, when did you find out that you were nominated into the Masters Hall of Fame, and who nominated you?
Well, either it was those two Italian guys in my, you know, by the garbage dump with a gun, and they're, you know, but otherwise I got a letter. It was Fortune Day who asked me to do so. And, you know, to be honest with you, I always have not bat an eye because I get nominated by many people I don't know. But when Ford Sensei's name came and go like, oh, wait, you know what? This is something I need to take under consideration. Honorable people is someone I can tend to talk to. And so that's how it all started.
Right. So, what was your initial reaction when you heard that you were nominated by Ford Sensei? I bet it was pretty cool,
yeah,
huh?
I wanted to, like, drink a pitcher of, you know, Sapporo, but the time when I found out, the Shusia was close. So I just had to drink water and calm my heart down. But I was honored, and yet I still thought, like, wow, thank you, I think, you know? And, you know, you go through teaching karate with no thought of rewards or anything. You just do it because you love it. And I guess there's a saying, when you do this job and liking it, you really don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
And I learned that, you know. So doing what I do is not because I'm expecting to be rewarded, but for Ford Sensei to come up with that, I go like, okay, I'm going to have to get a tuxedo, am I?
That's right.
Well, you know,
and I asked one of my students, he said, oh, we should go, we must go. Okay, fine. And I go, no, please don't expect me to dress up like those guys in Dumb and Dumber, you know? You know, those 1970s prom tuxedo. But my reaction definitely was, I was a bit floored that he picked me to be part of this great event.
Well,
it's
going to
be a great honor
to
have you part of it. Yeah, it'll be a great honor to have you there.
Yeah, if people can handle my cheesy jokes, yeah.
Well, that's why,
that's
part of the reason why I nominated you.
Me and Super Bob will make sure we come say hi at your table, get some cheesy.
Oh, absolutely. I'll have a little competition when it comes to cheesy jokes, won't I?
Yeah,
hey, Skipper Bob.
Yeah.
Hey, Skipper Bob.
It's great.
Ah. Hey, Skipper Bob.
Yeah.
This is William. I wanted to let you know also that, you know, and the listeners know that, you know, Hunchy Dan Hecht, when we're appointed to be an ambassador, you know, he asks us to really kind of think about who we're going to nominate. It's not just like a numbers game, you know. So mm-hmm. I'm really looking for people of good, you know, personal ethics, you know, of good quality, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of that. You know, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, just a great martial artist, you know, but, you know, we're looking at the character of people also, you know, and so getting nominated for the Master, you know, there's lots of Hall of Fame out there, and, you know, I'm sure most of them are great, and some of them you can actually nominate yourself, you know, so, you know, what good is that? You know, it's this is being nominated by a group of your peers, you know, and we're supposed to really take a look at. And Sifu Rashida and Sifu Bob, you can vouch for me on this. You know, we really take a look at the character of our nominees, and you know, that's part of the criteria about actually nominating people into the Masters Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you nominated me, that's why I didn't even give it a second thought. So, and I have said this, man, you are just awesome. Thank you.
Excellent.
Awesome.
So, Sensei Prince, who are you, and you do this every week, so I'm used to it.
I know, I keep just taking this mic. Go ahead.
So, Sensei Prince, who's coming with you this year? Who are you bringing?
Well, I was bringing Pamela Anderson, the Baywatch base. You know, I don't know their email address, so scratch that plan out. So I
okay.
Sorry, I was joking with that. I didn't really call the Baywatch babes, but
I love it. Oh my
goodness. So, but who's coming? Your wife, your kids, your grandkids? Your great-grandkid?
I don't have grandkids, per se, or have kids. I'm single.
Oh.
And,
No, you're not only single. You're smart.
Well, you know, freedom is so precious. I have to protect that. I devoted my life to martial art and teaching that... Yeah, sometimes you got to have a little sacrifice. Until that day, we'll never know.
And, of course, since my wife's in the room, do you know what that comment's going to cost me?
I mean, people were suggesting I do online and all that. I said, you know, someone say, have you tried those mail order brides? I said, well, I'm just afraid that I may not be home and it might get delivered to my neighbor. So, I didn't want to be part of it. Hey, that's a nice one. I like that. A background.
Yeah, a little different out there for you.
Should I shut up now here?
Now, are you will you be coming in that day Friday night, or will you be staying for the seminars?
I'm not sure where. I believe I have an engagement for before the seminar, so I am clocked out on that one pretty much, as I do have a regular job, and which caused me to finish up my work before I have my fun time, which is karate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I will be definitely there. I have a student coming with me, and I don't know who else are coming with me, as he made the announcement recently as well. So I guess surprise me is the better word to use.
Right on. Very cool. Now, say, where is your dojo again? So that way, you know, if any of our listeners are in the area, maybe they can come by and visit.
Sure. Make sure weapons are left, you know, in the parking lot.
check your weapons, please.
And restraining orders as well.
Mm-hmm.
My dojo's My dojo is located at 15203 Crenshaw Boulevard, Gardena, California, of course, 90249.
90249. All right, let's try to get that information on our Dynamic Dojo Facebook page so people, if they're in the area, they can visit either you or Sensei Ford or both. And,
Definitely.
Because, you know, we always try to suggest great dojos and gyms for our listeners to go to if they're ever in a particular state or whatever. And we always want to make sure that we suggest really good quality dojos. So you guys are you guys are going to be top on the list there as far as karate is concerned. Yeah. Right on.
Well, you know, Bob, it's finally, you know, some... Well, no, I appreciate every effort, and again, you know, good people like such as yourself, guys. I thank you for that. And I know I joke around a lot, but that's a very sincere, you know, appreciation.
Thank you. Awesome, Sifu Bob. Do you have any other questions for Sensei Loeffler?
No, great interview. I look forward to meeting you in 2 weeks or 3 weeks now.
Too.
And I think we're going to have a blast.
We
are.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't mean the fireworks, so I'm afraid of fire.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to meeting you, and we'll stop by your table and say hello. Yeah.
Definitely.
It'll be awesome.
And I look forward to seeing Chris Ford Sensei.
Yay. It'll be
we're
fun.
We're going to party like it's 1899.
Hey,
well, that means you have to wear a tuxedo.
Yes.
Sensei Loeffler, did any of your students go to the Nationals in Reno?
No, we didn't. We actually had to cut that down a little bit because one is going to Romania and the other is busy with something about Sweet 16 party.
Yes, that can be expensive.
Yeah.
I understand.
So we plan to go next year, definitely.
Excellent.
But we have a big event coming up in November, so it's on my Facebook as well.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Sensei Loeffler and Sensei Ford,
thank you
so much, and good luck on the what day was that? The 20th. Good luck on the 20th. I don't know if I know I won't be able to make it. But when does that event start again, Sensei Ford?
Opening ceremony is from 11 to 11:30, and then we do the kids round from 12:45 to 12:30, and then the adult teen round starts about 1 o'clock to about 4 o'clock, and then I'm taking 2 days off after that. So,
awesome. 2 days.
Yeah, but
I'm looking
forward
to that event.
And
since
Cynthia Loeffler is going
to
be one of my opponents.
That'll be awesome. Very cool.
And babe, if you put a bruise on me, you owe me 2 dinners.
Okay, no problem, Sensei.
All right.
We're gonna be there. It's gonna be a great event.
Yeah, it's so cool. And again, listeners, it's 40 opponents, 40 years. Sensei William Christopher Ford is gonna be sparring 40 people. Count them, folks, 40 people. In recognition of his 40th year in martial arts, and he's going to be donating the proceeds to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So if you want to donate to it, I think there's a page for it on Facebook. Donate. It's a wonderful, wonderful organization and very, very worthwhile of our donation. So go check that out. All righty, Sensei. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great rest of the week.
You too.
All righty. We'll talk to you both next time. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty, and that was Sensei William Christopher Ford and Sensei Prince Loeffler. Two great people. Awesome, awesome people. Oh, my goodness.
And I just got my tickets to the Madison Hall of Fame. My wife just gave them to me.
Oh, right on. I got mine today, too. I'm pretty excited.
Very cool.
Yay.
Yeah, me too. I'm stoked. It should be a fun time.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, while we're waiting for our next guest, Raul Raiz, I just want to remind our listeners our phone number, 347-677-0699. And while we're waiting, why not go into health news and kind of see how far we can get before we talk to Sensei or Master Raul. So, health news. This is more so health tips, more health tips. I've been on a health tip kick as opposed to health news. It's summer. We all know it's summer, and in a lot of places here in the United States, it gets really freaking hot. And, you know, we all try to be cool and stuff like that, but I just want to give some tips on ways to keep cool in other ways other than just finding air conditioning. And this is me saying this in Seattle, where many of the homes do not have any sort of air conditioning because it doesn't get over 80 degrees hardly in the summer. But today it's like 86, and the rest of the week it's going to be in the mid to high 90s. And, oh, my gosh, so I decided to put this up here for the health tips. Okay. Health tips to stay cool during hot weather. Number one, this is number one, folks, stay hydrated. Remember, don't wait until you're already thirsty to drink more water, because when you are thirsty, it's already too late. It's a sign that you're dehydrated. But be sure to check with your doctor if there are any limits on the amount of fluid you are allowed. Number two, keep cool. Don't rely only on fans when the air around you is also so hot. Don't forget to use cool mists. Take cool showers, spend time in air-conditioned rooms and buildings if you can, or make a visit to the pool or public water park. Stay cool. Number three, dress smart. Make sure you wear loose, lightweight clothing and shade yourself with wide-brimmed hats and sunglasses. Stay in the shade or use sunscreen to avoid sunburn and to avoid the possibility of future skin cancer. I can't say enough about the wide-brimmed hat, because you can get a form of snow blindness if you're out in places that have really bad glare in that type of beating type of sun. All right, number four, get everyone out of the car. Children and pets should never, ever be left alone in a parked car. Temperatures can rise to 52 Celsius. I don't, yeah, 52 Celsius. I don't know what 52 Celsius is. What is that in Fahrenheit? I don't know. But temperatures can rise to 52 Celsius within 20 minutes, just 20 minutes in a vehicle when the outside temperature is only 34. Leaving the windows cracked open won't be enough, folks, and it's not going to make it safe just to leave the window cracked open. We've heard so many stories already, at least here in Washington State, about children being put into the hospital or even dying because people would forget their kids in the car. Who forgets their kids in the car, Bob? That astounds me.
It's unreal.
Yeah,
nobody. I mean, stupid people.
Yeah, gosh, don't have kids if you're not prepared to have the awareness, folks. Okay, there's my 2-second rant. Number five, look out for each. It's very, very important if you live in a neighborhood where there are a lot of older people as your neighbors. Check on your neighbors who are elderly, who live alone, or have difficulty leaving their homes. Make sure that they're coping okay with the heat. And if you see anyone who isn't dealing with the heat very well, move them to a shady, cool spot, get them hydrated, and call for help. Now, someone who has high body temperature and is either unconscious, confused, or has stopped sweating may be suffering from heat stroke, and 911 should be the priority at that point. So, you know, keep an eye out for the symptoms of heat stroke. All right, number six, stay informed. Read, watch, or listen to local news and weather channels for updated weather statements and warnings, and call public services in your city for information on heat-related illnesses. And last but not least, number seven, just chill. Chill out. Have to do tiring work or exercise outdoors, try and get it done in the early morning or later in the evening it's cooler. And if you must, exert yourself. Drink 2 to 4 glasses of non-alcoholic drink every hour to stay hydrated. So those are some tips to keep cool in this hot weather. Please make sure you observe those and stay safe in the hot weather, folks.
I don't know what's happening with
health.
I don't know what's happening with the Skype tonight, but you really broke up sometimes.
That bites. You know, you know what it might be? I might have to turn off the overhead fan. And because I think that's what does it. Because like, it's kind of like, you know, when you fan yourself, it kind of sounds like this. It sounds like whoosh, 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 whoosh. I might have to turn this fan off. Okay, I'll turn it off. There we go. Okay, maybe that's a little better. And, you know, I've been a little bit of weird, like, not feedback, but just weird Skype or Blog Talk video sounds. Because, like, for about 5 minutes, all sound went from one of my headset to one ear. And say, Ford's line kept cutting in and out a little bit. Did you hear that?
No, I only hear your line cutting in and out.
Well, that bites. That really bites. I think it's Blog Talk Radio, because if Skype is you on as clear, the rest of us should be also. So, I don't know. Maybe I have to change out to a different headset later.
Well,
anyhow, so our
news.
Yeah, let's do. Here's the weird news. Oh, come on, play. There he goes.
Santa Ana, California. Now, this didn't happen in Santa Ana, but this was a Santa Ana resident. California man catches 482-pound halibut in Alaska. Wow.
480
pounds. Okay.
That's crazy.
That is nuts. A California man hooked the catch of a lifetime while on vacation in Alaska. The Orange County Register reports on Friday of a Santa, now get this, 76 years old this guy was. Jack McGuire of Santa Ana caught a 482-pound Pacific halibut. 76
wow.
years old.
Wow,
McGuire
you caught that thing
40...
in.
Wow. Oh, I can't even imagine.
I can't
imagine a 20-year-old pulling that in. But McGuire
no.
struggled for 40 minutes before the giant fish was reeled in. His catch outweighs the 459-pound Pacific halibut caught in Alaska in 1996. That is the world's record. But
wow.
it doesn't meet international Game Fish Association regulations. The halibut was shot. I'm sorry. I guess when they couldn't bring him up and he was still struggling, somebody pointed a gun and shot him.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. Can you imagine, you know, the little fish bats? The little fish bats ain't going to do anything on something that's almost 500 pounds. You're going to have to shoot it. Oh, my
exactly.
gosh.
The halibut was shot. Then it was. They weren't happy with shooting it. Then harpooned before it was brought aboard the boat, disqualifying the catch from being considered for a world record.
What?
Yep. They disqualified because they shot it and harpooned it. Done. You had to reel that puppy up.
Well, I thought. So they shot it before it came onto the boat?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
And
why?
Then they stuck it with a harpoon.
Oh. See, I guess what I don't understand is, like, well, why couldn't you just have brought it up on the boat and just let it, like, do its, you know, usual, I don't know what they do. They suffocate, right? You know, what? I wonder why. Oh, you know, maybe something that big. Can you imagine something that big flopping around?
Yeah, knocking people overboard.
Oh, my gosh, that's a lot of fish sticks.
I know. God, it could feed a school district for probably 6 months.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Do you know if there's pictures? I want to see pictures.
No, I didn't see any pictures. It said McGuire was on a week-long fishing trip near Glacier Bay and his three children when he was with his three kids when he caught the 95-inch long fish. 95 inches. Wow.
Whoa. That's crazy.
He said the boat captain shot the giant fish to keep it from flopping around and hurting someone.
So that's why they, okay, so that was the reason why they shot it, so the tail wouldn't knock someone overboard.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Or having, like,
exactly.
the tail just, like, slam you in the head. Oh, my God.
Right.
400-something.
He applauded the decision, even if it contributed to him not getting the world record.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
That's a lot of fish. And, you know, kudos to him for reeling that in up until they had to shoot it. Because that's a fight. You might as well just be fighting a marlin. Wow. I didn't think Hilbert got that big. I mean, I know they got big, but I didn't think that they would, you know, 300-400 pounds. Oh, my gosh.
That's insane weight.
Wow.
That's insane. And now my wife's over here because she works for a pet store, and she's saying that guy's going to get in trouble with all the animal people, all the animal rights activists and all this.
Well,
you know, they're going to call it something like, I don't know, cruel and unusual punishment maybe.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. Don't get me started on don't get me started on that, because it's like, yeah, anyhow. All right, that was Big Fish. Congratulations to that fisherman, 79 years old, pulling in 400-something pounds. That's amazing. Well, cool. That is amazing. Let's move on to entertainment.
Well, now everybody knows about Tracy Morgan getting his limo getting hit in New Jersey by a Walmart truck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it looks like it's not over. It says, great news. Tracy Morgan has been released from a rehab center while he has been recovering from critical injuries sustained in a deadly crash involving a Walmart truck driver, and has been given the all clear to go home. A rep for the 45-year-old SNL and 30 Rock star, or 30 Rock actor and comedian, announced the news in a statement to E! News on Saturday, July 12th. 2 days earlier, Morgan and two other pastors sued Walmart over the crash, which killed their friend. Tracy has been released from the rehab center and will continue his recovery efforts at home with an aggressive outpatient program, the actor's rep said. He asked to pass along his sincerest gratitude to everyone who has helped him get to this point. He also would appreciate some privacy during a crucial point in his recovery. Yeah, tell TMZ and all the paparazzi to respect his privacy. That's not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah,
on June 7th, Morgan was riding in a limo bus with his entourage on a highway in New Jersey when a Walmart semi-truck crashed into it, spurring a six-vehicle pileup. He and several pastors were injured, while another comedian, James McNair, known as Jimmy Mack, 62, died. The actor was treated for broken leg and ribs and later transferred to a rehab facility to continue his recovery. His lawsuit states that he has been incapacitated from pursuing his usual employment and other activities and may be left with disabilities. As a result of the deadly crash, a Walmart rep called the incident a terrible tragedy and said the retail giant was committed to doing the right thing for all involved. The driver involved in the crash, Kevin Roper, has pled not guilty to charges of vehicular homicide and four counts of assault by auto. You know what?
Wow.
I'm sorry. There is a reason that they call these things accidents.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't crash the limo on purpose and should not be tried for any charges on that bias. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, you know, well, I was going to say, you know, there's got to be, you know, there's got to be more to this story. I mean, you know, I don't know why Tracy thinks that, you know, I mean, how do I put this? You know, it's one thing to sue the company, but to go after the driver, it's an accident. You know, I mean, it's an accident.
That's not his choice, though. It's the state of New Jersey that went after him.
Oh, the state.
Not Tracy directly. Yeah, the state of New Jersey goes after
Oh.
We'll go after him because, see, Tracy can't say, you killed my friend, I'm going to sentence you to murder. He can't do that. It's the state of New Jersey that comes forward and does all the legal proceedings that way. Now, do you know at one time, all of the Waltons, which is where Walmart comes from, they were the top seven of the top 10 richest people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I would go after them too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's
he may walk for a limp.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, a lot of people think that broken legs is just a broken leg and stuff, but depending on how you break it, it can be a limp for your life. And I see Tracy's point, and, you know, until he starts healing and until the docs, you know, give him an okay, you know, I don't think we'll know how he's going to be. But, wow, I didn't know that the state could just willy-nilly, not willy-nilly, but could just go after people like that. Because, I mean, how do they, if people die in just a regular old car accident, you know, does New Jersey go after the driver of the vehicle that lives? I mean, I don't get it. Accidents happen, folks.
That's right.
All right. That's right. Well, why don't we do this?
Well,
it is the – oh, go ahead. I was going to say,
well,
it's the top of the hour.
Our 6:45 inductee blew us off, but that's okay. Things happen. This happen last year. They just forget.
Yeah. Yeah. And if, you know, either that or, you know, maybe he hopes that we would call them. But if you are one of our guests, please call us at 347-677-0699 at the time that we initially scheduled you for. We had Raul scheduled for 6:45, Mark Stoner scheduled for 7, James Neiman scheduled for 7:15, and Emmanuel Thompson scheduled for 7:30. But right now, it's the top of the hour. Let's take a seventh inning stretch and just take a short 3-minute break. So we'll be right back after this, folks. Don't go away.
Hey, MMA fighter Jason Mayhem Miller here. School bullying and cyberbullying statistics are increasingly viewed as an important contributor to youth violence, including homicide and suicide. Let's kick bullying together. Go to WeKickingIt.com.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to
this is Annie Lennox of Eurythmics, or RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive if someone else has been drinking. Thank you.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Guru Rocky Twitchell of Citrus Heights, California, and you are listening to the Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio Show.
Packers.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown.
Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Dynamic Dojo Show with Restita and Robert, your source for martial arts talk radio.
All right, and we are back. If you're just now tuning in, this is Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Restita and Robert. Our guest call-in number here is 347-677-0699. And if you don't feel like calling, we've got a chat board under the Blog Talk Radio show marquee. If you'd much rather do that, just scroll down underneath the marquee there, and we'll get to your message. I try to check it like once every 5 minutes. All righty. Very cool. Well, we were hoping to have some of our Masters Hall of Fame nominees giving us a call and joining us and telling us a little bit about their martial arts backgrounds, but I guess something came up with a couple of them, right? That sounds kind of sounds
it,
like
it appears so.
Yeah. So if any of our guests are listening, feel free to call us 347-677-0699, or you can Skype us. If you go to the Blog Talk Radio Show Marquee. It's actually on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page, or on my page, or on or on Sifu Bob's page. If you look for this show and actually click the link, not click the graphic on the Facebook link, otherwise it'll just play it right there in Facebook. But click the link, and it'll take you directly to the Blog Talk Radio Show Marquee. And at the top of the marquee, you'll see a little blue S. That's Skype. So if you have Skype, just bring up your Skype program and click that button, and you'll be able to use your Skype and call us for free, toll-free. You won't have to worry about paying for long distance and stuff like that. And that goes for anybody that wants to call in. If you want to call us in on Skype, feel free to do so. All righty. Well, that bites. I was really, like, hoping to talk to Master Raul and Master Mark. But our next guest, well, hopefully, I mean, and it's only 7:05. Maybe Master Mark Stoner will be able to call us, as well as Master James Neiman. And definitely Emmanuel Thompson, I think, has confirmed that he was supposed to be calling us, correct?
And so did James Neiman. Yes, they both did.
Yes. Okay. Well, we have about 10 minutes, and we can speak with Master James Neiman. All right. So, again, 347-677-0699, our guest call-in number. Well, while we're waiting for them, let's go ahead and brief our listeners that might have just tuned in a little bit about Masters Hall of Fame. Sifu Bob, when is Masters Hall of Fame? Where is it? And all that other good stuff.
Well, it's August 1st and August 2nd at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Long Beach, California, in conjunction with the 50th anniversary of the Long Beach International. Probably the longest-running, biggest tournament in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sifu, have you ever come down to the Long Beach Internationals?
No, I haven't. But one of these days, I would love to go to the Long Beach Nationals. One of these days. Not to compete, but just to go, you know, or even to judge. I would love to judge at the Long Beach Internationals. I think it would be fun.
Right, right. You know, and we're going to be too busy this year to even be able to go. It's going to be the Queen Mary this year, which is really cool.
That is awesome. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be cool. How far is you mean the tournament? Is it the Queen Mary or
the tournament is the Queen Mary, right?
Wow. How far is the Queen Mary from Regency, you know?
I'm not sure. Probably 3 or 4 miles.
Very cool. Very cool. So come out, folks. You know, check out the Long Beach Internationals. Check out the Masters Hall of Fame. The dinner tickets. You don't have to be a martial arts master or a martial arts celebrity to attend. You know, all you need is a ticket, and you'll have an opportunity to rub elbows with some of the best of the best in the world. And depending on the seating arrangements, you know, you might just be able to find a seat next to a well-known martial artist. You never know. So it's only $150.
Right.
Some
of the well-known martial artists that are going to be there are, I don't think he's confirmed. Well, actually, I did see mention of him. Don Wilson may be there. Cynthia Rothrock has confirmed she's going to be there. James Wilson is going to be there. TJ Storm, which is an inductee this year by our good friend Robert Parham, he's going to be there. Karen Shepherd, which will more than likely, since I'm inducting her, will be at my table. So that's
cool.
Who's going to be there. I saw a butterfly fly by, sorry.
Yeah. You did too?
Yeah, I did too. It looks like we do have a caller. Sifu, do you want to take this caller?
Yes. Let's see. We've got area code 510. 510, you're on Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio. Is this Master James or Master Raul?
This is Grandmaster James Neiman speaking.
Hi there. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
We were actually very pleased that you called, because our other guest, I guess something happened and he couldn't call, and me and Bob are sitting here trying to stall.
Yeah, we were just having fun between ourselves. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, yes, Grandmaster James called. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to join us this evening.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on and speak with you guys.
Right on. We were just telling our listeners.
Great.
We were just telling our listeners a little bit about what the Masters Hall of Fame was going to be about, and you'll be attending. And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you into the organization, and we look forward to meeting you on the Masters Hall of
Fame
on August 1st. Yeah, but we'd like to just get the ball rolling so our listeners can learn a little bit about you. So, Grandmaster James, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your martial arts background and how you got started, your styles, and all that?
Oh, sure. I have a really long history in martial arts. I'm not sure why, but I wanted to do martial arts since I was 7 years old. And when I was 14, I finally got the chance, so I jumped at it. I got a teacher of Taekwondo to take me on, even though I wasn't an adult. He only took adults. That was Bob Zambetti over at Ohlone College in Fremont, California. And I mm-hmm. studied with him until I began attending college myself at California Institute of Technology, where I met Master Tsutomu Oshima.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a big impression on me. Master Oshima was Gichin Funakoshi's top student in Shotokan. And when he walked out onto the field to introduce himself to the class that first day, I thought he was a student because he looked so young. He was 52 mm-hmm. years old. That made a big impression on me. And after that, spending 2 years with Master Oshima, after the 4 years I'd spent in Taekwondo, and then going on through college and all the years of professional work that I had to do outside of the martial arts, I kept training with all kinds of masters. I've been one of these very lucky people that kept running into great masters in the martial arts. And eventually, going from art to art, I finally said, well, I need to find a home in martial arts. I need to become a master of one art. And so mm-hmm. I decided that that art would be Aikido. And I started Aikido a little bit later in life when I was 32 years old. And so I did achieve a level of master in Aikido. And eventually, after spending more time teaching in the schools than taking classes myself, I was pushed to open my own school. And when I did that, I realized that people were coming in saying, teach me how to protect myself. And even though I would protect myself differently than I was teaching in the traditional arts, mm-hmm. I kept teaching the traditional way, just one style, and kept running into these conflicts in myself and with my students. Why don't you teach me how to protect myself instead of teaching me this formal system, this traditional mm-hmm. system? So I decided, let me really think about what it is I would do. And I realized that I am the sum of 36 years of experience. Mm-hmm. And created my own martial art and formalized a system. And that really met the need. The school became very successful, and I became a lot happier. My students became a lot happier. And we have a system that's just very exciting. And at this point, because of the fact that it is a system based on mixed martial arts training, mm-hmm. I am friends with martial artists all over the world in a variety of styles, and I could not be happier about that.
Very cool. Very cool. If I may ask, who were some of the great masters that you studied with?
Well, I studied with Morihiro Saito Shihan. He was a ninth dan in Aikido from Japan, Iwama, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I studied knife fighting with a good friend of mine, Kaizo Dave Bendekite, who's also a professor of Kajikenpo. And because of the fact that many of the people I grew up with, even back in the 70s, had been studying Kajikenpo, I made friends with a number of people, Grandmaster Pete Morales, Sifu Bob mm-hmm. Gomez, Professor Sean Hayes, and quite a number of other people that I couldn't even possibly begin to list. There were quite a few people I've met over the years, and some of them have passed away as well.
Mm-hmm. That's very cool because, with that extensive background, I'm sure that your system is a very effective one. What is the name of your system, sir?
I call it Shugyo Aikido, I thought very carefully. Yu-Gi-Oh! Just basically, well, it has a lot of translations. I use the translation spiritual discipline because I do believe that it does take spiritual discipline. And I have to say that the person, the martial artist who influenced me the most in my life is one I never met personally. That was Bruce Lee. I made it my mission in life to try to learn as much about Bruce Lee as I possibly could, and I was lucky enough to actually become friends with one of his closest friends, Alan Jo. And one of the things that I learned from the writings of Bruce Lee, and obviously he in his movies it's, some of that comes out, was the sense of independence. You know, the sense of independence that you take what works, you discard the rest, and you really make the art your own. You express yourself. And I had a sense of independence most of my life. I've had a sense of independence professionally. When I got to Caltech and I met Master Oshima, he saw the experience in me. He didn't put me in his regular training program. He had me sparring with his black belts. He wanted his black belts to learn how to fight better. And I was cutting angles, and they weren't because they were Shotokan. And it was that sense of independence that made me just go from art to art, picking up whatever I wanted over the years, and just trying to make myself a well-rounded fighter, but also picking up the art side. And that's why I named my art Studio Aikido. It's an Aikido-centered art where you have a self-defense scenario. And in that self-defense scenario, you may not be able to immediately use an Aikido technique. You may have to use boxing, Wing Chun, Silat, Karate, anything that you can. And eventually, if you have the right opportunity, an Aikido technique could come out. But I figured that since I actually earned a master-level status in Aikido, I should stick to the fundamentals when creating an art and base it around an art I could actually claim mastery over. And so that's why I named it Shugyu Aikido.
Awesome.
Very cool. Now, Sensei, what years did you study with Master Oshima?
So that would have been 1982 to 84 at California Institute of Technology in Pasadena.
I'm sorry, so I know a good friend of mine that's been on our show studied with him in the 60s. I didn't know he was teaching that late in life.
Oh, yeah. He was there all the time I was there, and I think he stayed there for quite a while afterwards. I understand he's retired at this point.
Wow. So what was your... Let's go into the Masters for a second. Who nominated you into the Masters Hall of Fame?
It was Grandmaster Mike Sandoz who officially nominated me. My name was recommended to Grandmaster Sandoz from people that... were nominated for the first time this year. And they made a case for me to him, and he said, well, since you're first-timers, you can't nominate James, but you've convinced me, so I will. So that's how I ended up getting in.
Oh, very cool.
Now, did you know about this, or what was your reaction when you saw the letter?
You know, I had no idea that this was going on. It was actually quite a shock to me, and I started asking my friends, did you know about this? What's going on with this? And I actually have a few friends who got in, and they said, no, we didn't know that you got in. It turns out that I made an impression on some of my brothers in the Kaju Kempo world. And those people in the Kaju Kempo world were connected with Grandmaster Sandoz, who was also a leader in the Kaju Kempo world. So I guess it was on that level. They saw me training. They got to know me personally, and they got to understand about my art.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, my background is in Kaju Kempo as well. And when Grandmaster Sandoz nominates someone, it's because he really puts a lot of thought into who he nominated. So that's, I'm not surprised that he nominated you. It's, because he really looks for the greatest quality people for nomination into the Masters Hall of Fame. And again, I want to congratulate you into being inducted into our organization. It would be an honor to have you as an alumni of the Masters Hall of Fame. When will you be coming in? Are you coming in Friday, that same day as the ceremonies, or do you have any other special plans while you're in Long Beach?
So I will be flying in Friday in the early afternoon. Unfortunately, I don't have the luxury of time to spend all week in Long Beach, although I would very much love to. I don't do martial arts for a living. I actually have a dojo, and I don't run it for any profit. I only charge enough to pay the rent. So I have to make a living in the Silicon Valley like millions of other people, and I'll cut out of work early Friday and fly down there. And I'll be staying until Sunday morning.
Oh, very awesome. Very awesome. And Grandmaster, in the event that we have listeners that are in that particular neighborhood, what's the location of your dojo, if I might ask?
My dojo is located in Union City, California. It's a city in the East Bay near Fremont, and very close to Silicon Valley, Oakland, San Francisco.
Oh, very cool.
Well, Rusty, we've got a caller that was actually on our show last week, the father to three kids, well, not kids, they're adults now, that wants to talk to Master Neiman. Would you like to take call Master Neiman?
I would be honored. I have a feeling I know who these people are.
All right, we got
do.
Yep, we have a Skype caller, Mr. Anthony Magallanes. How are you?
Oh, good. Happy birthday. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Yeah, we heard Grandmaster James Neiman was going to be on. Just had to make a quick phone call. Don't want to take up his time or anything else like that. But I just wanted to say that we're very happy that he's on, and he's going to be over in Long Beach with the same time we're going to be down there. Grandmaster James Neiman is a man of many talents, a man that we're proud to call our friend. In fact, when we spoke last weekend with you, we'd mentioned that Jasmine was going to be doing a music video with Art Camacho's actually producing. Grandmaster James Neiman's actually playing the piano to that music. He's a concert pianist, man of many, many talents. I could brag about him all for a long time, but this is his time, and I don't want to do that. But we pride ourselves with the people that we surround ourselves with, and we're very proud to call Grandmaster James Neiman our friend. I just wanted to call in and say that.
The feeling is mutual.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Cool.
Wow, thanks for calling, Anthony.
You're welcome. And wanted to say happy birthday once again to the birthday girl. And we'll see everyone down there.
All right.
Give
our best to everybody.
All right.
Well, I'd also like to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Grandmaster. Thank you, Grandmaster. It was a quiet day. All of my students decided to call in sick or have family matters to take care of, quote unquote. At least that's what they told me when they texted me. They're like, well, you know, since I'm the only one, maybe you should just take the day off. And I'm like, oh. Well, I guess you guys get to take a day off, too. Okay. Yeah, it was very quiet. That's something that never really happens, to stay at home all day. It was great. Right on. Now, Grandmaster, I had another quick question. And this is just a question that I like to ask people that have been teaching a long time. If a young person would come up to you and say, I'd like to study martial arts, I don't know which one, what kind of advice would you give that young person?
I would advise that young person to visit a number of schools and watch quietly for a little while and then politely ask if he or she would be permitted to come on the mat for a trial class, try it out, and ask questions and try to understand what the philosophy of the art is and what it would really be like to be a student in that school, and most importantly, what the family is like at the school, because every serious school is a family. When you join a school, you join a family, and you may come in because, well, you may have a fear of violence or you may have actually experienced violence. What will keep you there is a sense of belonging, friendship, and family. And I think it's really important that a person get to understand, even at a young age, that they're part of something, something that will influence their life and people that they will eventually be calling family. I think it's really important to get to know people and not just fill out a form and write a check and say, okay, I'm in. They should know the people, and they should know the art before they commit themselves.
That's awesome advice. And would you would it be safe to say that the parents should heed that advice as well? Because I've seen many, many people go into dojos, and you know, including mine, and just say, I'd like to sign up my kid and plunk down a check. And, you know, I want to make sure, like you do, that that children feel comfortable there and feel that the art is for them, as opposed to, oh, I got to do this because mom and dad wrote this check. You know what I mean?
yeah, I really could not agree more with you. You know, I think it's really important that the parents be supportive. You know, there are all kinds of parents out there, right? If you take a look at, I'm sorry, I'm hearing dialing.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. That was weird.
That's strange. But what I was saying is that there are all kinds of parents. Some parents are really good at being supportive and being open-minded. Other parents, you know, they tend to try to take control and make the kid do what the parent really wanted, not really pay attention to what might be right for the kid. But it's
exactly.
Also very important, you know, from the teacher's standpoint, to make sure that they're accepting somebody who's right for the school. You know, each person who comes into the school will affect the school. And it shouldn't really be about, well, we need the bodies on the mat, we need the dollars in the door. It really should be, is this person a good fit for the school? Are they going to, you know, enhance the martial arts lives of the people around them?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from my standpoint, I'm not getting younger. At one point, I'm hoping that I'm going to be training my replacement. So I want the people who come into the school to really feel that they belong there, to really enjoy being there, and to develop themselves over time. And eventually, one day, hopefully, there will be a young master who can take over and let me sail off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So take heed, kids and parents. Take heed to that advice to be supportive of your kids. Fibu Bob, do you have any questions for Grandmaster James?
No, it was a great interview. I look forward to meeting you in 3 weeks and last Friday.
Very much looking forward to meeting you.
Oh, no, one last question. Are you just coming for the dinner? Are you going to be at the internationals? Are you coming for the seminars as well?
I will be at the dinner, of course, on the Friday, and I will be attending the seminars the next day on Saturday. And I'd like to get exposure to as much of the activity going on around there as possible on Saturday. I haven't really planned it out very much, except for promising Grandmaster Sandoz that I would attend his 8 a.m. seminar on Saturday morning.
You know, and I'm glad you said that because, you know, the person, if you don't go to the seminar, the person who's planned them is really going to get really upset and really hurt.
That would be fun.
And it was funny because the CEO of the Man of Sullivan said, well, start them later because everybody's going to want to be drinking and they're going to be out late. And my whole attitude was, that's not my problem. I want to back in as much stuff as I can. If they're out drinking, if they come in with a hangover, so be it.
Well, you know, most of us martial artists live pretty cleanly. You know, I know a lot of martial artists, and most of them don't drink very much, if at all. And we all watch our diets, and we regard ourselves as professional athletes, and we try to take care of ourselves, go to bed early and wake up early. I teach a 6:30 a.m. class 3 days a week, so it'll be okay for me.
Awesome. Oh, very cool.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm thinking of taking Grandmaster Sandoz's 8 a.m. seminar also. Because it's been a long while since I've taken any of his seminars or classes. So this time I'll get a chance to. I'm looking forward to it. Well, thank you so much, Grandmaster Neiman, for joining us and taking the time out of your schedule again.
Really appreciate it. Yes.
And Sifu Bob and I really look forward to meeting you on August 1st.
I really look forward to meeting you, too. And thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great rest of the evening. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All righty. And that was Grandmaster James Neiman. I know. Awesome. I mean, you know. Oh, go ahead.
You know, when he started saying how martial artists live cleanly and this and that, I almost said, have you been drinking?
That's awesome. Well, you know, you and I were kind of talking about that a little bit. I forget at the beginning of the show or just before the show started how, you know, I used to be able to drink like 8 to 10 beers, you know, at a time when I was younger, like in my 20s and going to the clubs a lot and stuff like that. And now I have one beer and that's it for me. It's like, no, I can't do it. It's because, you know, my body, what are you doing? And
well, I know part of Silky Greg's group out in Sherwood Oaks calls their local bar or tavern their second dojo.
Ah, let's go train. Okay.
That's right. Well,
would
you like to bring on our last guest for the evening?
Yes, let's bring on our final guest of the evening. I'd like everyone to help me welcome Master Emmanuel Johnson, or Thompson, sorry. I have Johnson on the brain. Emmanuel Thompson to the show. Master Emmanuel, thanks for joining us. Sorry about that. I'm like thinking of like 50 different names. How are you, Master Thompson?
I am absolutely wonderful. How are you?
I'm in need of a beer, apparently.
You're in need of something, Rosie, because you've got Johnson on the brain. Do you know how that sounded?
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. As long as she doesn't call me late for dinner, I'm okay.
I got my business partner on the brain. I got like, I'm not with it. Thank you so much for joining us on the show and taking the time out of your schedule. Awesome. And we want to take this time to welcome you into the Masters Hall of Fame. We look forward to meeting you on August 1st. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fabulous. I'm looking forward to it. It's such an honor to be there with
awesome.
All the other masters and all the inductees into the Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. That'll be great. Now, what I'd like to get our listeners caught up on is, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your martial arts background, please?
Sure, no problem. I started martial arts about maybe a little over 35 years ago in the beautiful neighborhood of South Central Los Angeles. And moved to Long Beach, California, where I was one of the first karate instructors for the gang prevention program for the city of Long Beach. And now we're still situated in the city of Long Beach, in Compton, and in South Central L.A., giving kids another opportunity other than choosing gangs as an alternative.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very cool. That is so awesome.
Yeah. And what styles do you teach? Do you teach several or one? Or
our main system of martial arts is Sandokai Karate Do. It's a fusion of Shotokan. It's a fusion of Shotokan Karate, Shorinryu Karate, and American Kickboxing.
Oh, very cool! Awesome. Very cool. And I'm curious because, you know, I love it when we have guests that come on that not only teach martial arts for the community, but take that skill and bring it further into the community. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your gang prevention program?
Sure. What I do, our fees are very, very, very reasonable if any fees are implemented at all to the students. Because in the areas that I teach, we teach through to the churches, through the International Christian Karate Association, through Bishop Donnie Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And what the churches do, they allow us to come and teach in their churches. And what we do, we teach for a small fee, and we give a certain percentage back to the churches for allowing us to teach there. And it basically just gives the kids in the community in South Central LA and in Compton and in North Long Beach alternatives, doing something other with their spare time. And in some cases, in those communities, there's absolutely nothing for the kids to do other than to get in trouble because they're just bored.
Mm-hmm.
So we give them something else to do. So we run them. We get them physically fit. We teach them spiritual concepts. We teach them martial arts concepts about how to be a good citizen in their community. So that's basically our gang prevention program. Give them alternatives.
Wow.
Very
that
cool.
Is so
that is
cool.
Such a worthwhile program. So
mm-hmm.
since you're involved with Donnie Williams, and this is just off subject, are you going to be coming to his special night at the Martial Arts History Museum next Saturday?
You know I will be there in full force. I'm going to have a lot of the students there because, again, I'm one of Donnie Williams' students, one of his senior students. I'm an 8th degree black belt under Donnie Williams, so I'm going to come there in full force with all of my students to support Donnie Williams. So we're looking forward to seeing you there.
I live in Burbank. I will absolutely be there.
I'm looking forward to shaking your hand, okay, and taking a picture with you. I'm going to put it on my Facebook page and actually on our Sandokai website.
There you go.
That would be great. I really look forward to that. Now,
so,
who nominated you, sir?
I believe it was Ford, Sensei Ford, nominated me, as well as Grandmaster Felix Royales nominated me to the Martial Arts Masters Hall of Fame.
Well, it was probably William Ford because he's one of our ambassadors, and the ambassadors can nominate. We just had him on the show. Like he was on the show at like 6:15.
An hour ago, yeah.
Yes, it was great. Ford and I met about maybe 2 years ago. We met actually at a martial arts supply store in West LA, and we got to shaking hands. It was just like just by chance we got to shaking
mm-hmm.
hands and talking and laughing, and find out we had the same background, and we're talking about our history and our love for the martial arts, and we just hit it off. We said, let's keep in contact. And then we found out that we were already Facebook friends and had so much in common, came from the same background as far as Shorter U martial arts, and we just hit it off 100%. Sensei Ford is an amazing individual. And
mm-hmm.
He's awesome.
Definitely, definitely. That's awesome. Very awesome. Now, are you, since you're right there in Long Beach, are you going to be just driving in Friday night? Will you be staying for the seminars?
I will be. Actually, I'm in walking distance from the place, so I live right
that
on the...
That is so cool.
Right next to Long Beach, so I'll be walking there in my tuxedo.
Wow.
That is so cool. This is off subject too, but one of these days I want a cool event like the Masters Hall of Fame where I can walk to it. There's nothing here in Seattle.
we're gonna plan something just for you, okay? We're gonna look forward to you walking around in your evening gown. In your evening gown
you
to
go.
The event, okay?
That's right.
There you go. Oh my goodness. So now you mentioned that your background is in Shorinryu, and this is kind of off subject of Masters Hall of Fame, I know, but primarily for the listeners that might not know, there are several different branches of Shorinryu, if I'm correct. Can you tell our listeners, a little bit about the branch of Shorinryu that you're in and what, if any, differences are within those branches?
I'll give you a little bit of background. Give you a background of my Shorinryu because people can relate to it when I mention one of the most famous Shorinryu martial artists that has basically represented the martial arts world. Joe Lewis, he studied under Izo Shimabuku as my head instructor, Shihan Thomas White, did at the same time in Okinawa. My instructor, Shihan Thomas White, and Joe Lewis was actually students of Izo Shimabuku back in Okinawa, and they studied. And then, again, as most people understand and know, that Joe Lewis came to America after he left Okinawa and basically coined the frames of kickboxing,
mm-hmm.
and he put it out there. And so that's the same form that we study under. And then once my instructor, Shihan Thomas White, came here to the United States, he actually studied under Shotokan, under Oshima, which is mm-hmm. Shotokan Karate Association of America. and ranked under Master Oshima, which is still around here in the Los Angeles area. And my head instructor, Shihan Thomas White, passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago due to cancer. So we're pushing it and kind of pushing her art and living on his legacy as we speak today. But the most famous, again, one of the most famous Shorin Ryu martial artists of our style is Joe Louis, who passed away, unfortunately, last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we can relate to the Shorin Ryu from Master Izo Shimabuku because of Joe Louis, who put it on the map.
Very cool.
Very cool.
That's a legendary lineage, sir. That's a legendary lineage.
Oh, it is.
Lineage.
Absolutely.
It's awesome.
And it's funny. Our head instructor, Shihan Thomas White, said Joe Louis actually was ready to quit because Izo Shimabuku really couldn't speak English, and he would just say, put your check on the desk or leave your money on the desk. And Joe Louis was ready to quit. And my instructor said, Joe, you can't quit, man. Let's just keep going. I understand the language barrier, just keep going. So he encouraged me to keep going. And again, the rest is history.
That's awesome.
Wow. You give back so much to the community, Sensei. When you got this induction letter, what were your first thoughts?
My first thought, I thought it was an honor. But secondly, I thought, you know what? Most of my students are not going to be able to come because of the fee associated with the dinners, and it's a black tie event because most of my students, first of all, don't have that type of attire, and secondly, can't afford to come. But I wanted them all to know that this is not because of what I've done, but this is because of their support, and this is done because of them. So when I make like 2 seconds to say anything, I'm going to let them know that this is not because of me. This is because of you. This is because of all the kids in South Central Los Angeles, all the kids in Compton, and all the kids in North Long Beach. This is for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's outstanding, sir. Now, who are you bringing with you? You're bringing a wife, girlfriend, your own kids? Anybody coming with you?
I'm bringing the wifey and a couple of students from the Los Angeles area are going to be coming with me.
Oh, very cool. You know what, Rusty? I think they better give William Christopher Ford a couple more tables, don't you?
I think so. I think Sensei William Christopher Ford is going to need a couple more tables because us as ambassadors, we only get like one table per person unless we ask for them. And I think, I think Sensei Ford should get a couple more tables so that way you'll be
And asking for them does not work because I've done that a couple years in a row when I've needed 2 and 3 tables.
Well, you know, Sensei Ford is a lot more popular than me, so he's definitely going to need a lot more tables.
Well, you know what's funny about...
I just need a half a table.
Well, you know what's funny about William Christopher Ford? The guy is so nice.
He is. Yeah.
I met him last year. He sat at my table. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, you know, my table was over here, but people are sitting in it. I guess people just gravitated to his table, filled it up. He had no room to sit at his own table. So he went over to mine. But he's so nice, he wouldn't say, this is my table, get out.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? There's very few people that are genuinely nice, and Sensei Ford is genuinely nice. He is just a good guy. I really, really like that guy.
Yeah, so do I. He's a genuine teacher too. It's incredible. And you know,
going to be going up to his event, Sensei?
One more time.
Are you going to be going up to his event and spar him in next Sunday?
I did not even know about it. You know what? I'm actually preparing for the bar. I have to take the bar July 29th. Whoa. So I have not been on any. It's preparing for the bar. So that's a 3-day test. 18-hour test, so I'm not looking at anything. So to answer your question, I probably will not be sparring him, but Sensei Ford, if anybody hurts you, I got your back, and if they hurt you, they got to come back.
Very good. Very good.
Awesome. Very cool. My goodness. So one more question, if I may.
Sure.
If a young person, and I ask this to most of our guests, if a young person were to come to you and ask, hey, you know, I want to do martial arts, you know, either with you or with anybody else, I want to do martial arts, don't quite know which style I want to do, don't know about any of the styles, What do you think I should do? What would you tell that young person?
I would basically kind of get an idea of what they're looking for, because some people, again, and a lot of times myself and others as instructors, we put our heart and soul into the students, which is a good thing. But sometimes mm-hmm. the students are looking for that. Sometimes the students are looking, just like anything else in life, they're looking to go to the next level as far as, like, as an adult. Sometimes we say, okay, you know, we want to achieve our bachelor's degree. And once we achieve our bachelor's degree, that's it. Some want to achieve their associate's degree. And once they achieve their associate's degree, that's it. Or master's mm-hmm. degree, that's it. So the first thing I'm going to do is ask them, what is their goal? Is their goal to achieve a black belt? Is their goal to make this a lifestyle? Is their goal to get in shape? So you got to find that out first. And once we figure out what their goal is, or if their goal is to be able to defend themselves, then once we figure out what their goal is, then we can move forward in determining what martial art best fits them. And if some martial arts are good with grappling, some martial arts are good with stand-up, some martial arts are good with throwing, some martial arts are good with close stand or groundwork. It just depends. It depends on what their goal. And I want to make sure that they understand that the martial arts as a whole is going to make them a better person. But then again, achieving their goal, it will make them a satisfied person. So I want mm-hmm. to make sure that I understand what their goal is and what they're trying to achieve, and then kind of steer them in the right direction.
Very cool. Very cool. Hear that, kids?
That's a good question.
Hear that, kids? Take Master Thompson's advice to heart. Because, you know, as I mentioned with our previous guests, like, sometimes there are parents that will just plunk down a check and just say, teach my kid. Or there might be some kid that says, I want to do this just because it looks cool. And they have no idea, and they do it, and then they realize that it's not for them, and then, you know, then they feel kind of trapped. And I do believe it's crucial for that young person to have a goal of what they're looking for, or at least know what they're looking for, and for the parents to be supportive of that as well. So that's wonderful advice. Wonderful advice. Sifu Bob, do you have any other questions before we have to wrap it up?
No, I think we had a great few interviews. We have a couple of our interviewees, something happened to, but we had a great interview tonight. I look forward to meeting you, Master Thompson, next Saturday, Donnie Williams night, and, of course, at the Masters, and hopefully also at the seminars. We've got some great seminars going there. Are you aware of the seminars at the Masters, sir?
No, I'm not. I'm not too familiar with that. I know we got that coming up, and then we also got the Martial Arts Museum Honors Awards coming up too in September. So we got two big events. We got mm-hmm. the one on August 1st, and then one on September 6th coming up. So I'm looking forward to seeing both.
Oh, you're going to be at both, because Rusty's coming down from Seattle for both.
Yes, I'll be there. Will you be there? I'm looking forward
I'll
to meeting you and hanging out with you.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
There.
Well, I'm going to tell you the seminars that if you're attending or any of your students that come to the event are going to can attend. You've got Mike Sandoz, Mark Shuey, Jacob Pressler, Michelle Manu, Robert Parham, Darren Tabone, and, of course, Restita. You're going to learn anything from kickboxing to Eskrima, to Pop Krav Maga, combative Kung Fu. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great weekend.
That's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Definitely, that's going to be an amazing thing. So looking forward to seeing you both at both of them. Now, I probably won't be there in Seattle, but are you coming down to Long Beach?
Yeah, I'll be coming down to Long Beach. I'll be arriving in Burbank. I'll be sleeping on Sifu Bob's couch, checking in on the 30th, staying for a day and chilling out. And then me and Sifu Bob will be driving into Long Beach to check into the hotel and have fun with everyone at the Masters Hall of Fame dinner. And we really look forward to meeting you.
Same here. I'm looking forward to meeting both you guys, both in Burbank and also again in Long Beach. So,
Again back in Burbank.
Exactly. Back again in Burbank. That
it'll
be awesome.
A martial arts summer. It'll be awesome.
Yeah,
it is, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your evening to join us today. And we will see you in just a few weeks, I guess.
I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. And you get to dress up in your evening gown, and because you're going to be staying in the hotel in Long Beach, you can walk to the event. That way you
there
can
you go. There you go. I can.
That's
I can,
right.
I can
we'll be right there with you.
Yeah, exactly. <That's right. laughs> All right. Thank you for calling, Master Thompson. We'll see you in a little bit.
Definitely. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right. And that was Master Emmanuel Thompson. Well, it looks like we have another caller there, Bob. Let's go ahead and take it in our last 10 minutes. Area code 909. 909, you're on Dynamic Dojo. Who's this?
Hi, this is Raul Reese.
Oh, hi, Raul. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Really good, really good. We're
I forgot to call you guys.
Oh, we thought we hoped you were okay. We're like, uh-oh, I hope nothing bad happened to Raul.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, we can talk for another 15, 20 minutes if you like, because we're recording this episode, and everyone will be able to hear your interview. So, Bob.
Okay. I'm going to pull over. I'm driving. Thank you.
Okay. All righty.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to be talking to Master Raul Reese here in just a little bit. This will be cool. So, Bob, let's turn off the music here. Boop, I'm turning off the music. And
thank you.
Out there, thank you for joining us. I just want to remind our listeners of our call-in number, at least for the next 10 minutes. It's 347-677-0699. We will be live on the air until 9 p.m. Pacific time. However, we will be recording beyond that with Master Raul. So, you know, if you miss the end part of this interview, please listen to the archive. And the archive is posted on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. Thank you so much for joining us, Master Raul.
Hey, allowing me to be on your program.
Awesome, awesome. Can you tell, we'd like to start off by telling, could you tell our listeners a little bit about your martial arts background, please?
Yes, I was trained by Jimmy H. Wu for the last 41 years. And I started when I was in high school, probably a sophomore in high school, 1964. And then 1966, I went in the Marine Corps and went over to Vietnam. Came back in 1967 and went back to learning with Jimmy H. Wu until the day that he died. And then I continued to teach and just to, you know, to use the talents and gifts that I have in my life.
Wow. Now, Jimmy Wu, that's Kung Fu Sensei, isn't it? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Did I guess right?
Yes,
right. Yes.
He was a great sensei.
Oh, my God, I hope I'm guessing right. It sounded familiar.
No problem.
Very cool. Now, for our listeners that aren't familiar with Sun Tzu, can you tell our listeners what the style is comprised of?
Yes, it's not a hard style or a soft style. We do a lot of jiu-jitsu, aikido, a lot of hand movements, and a lot of combination of punching plus weapons.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. Wow, so you've been doing, I can't even do the math in my head. You've been doing
I've been about 44 years.
Wow. Wow, anyone that's doing martial arts for 40 years, I must salute, you know, because when I was like 8 years old when I started, just thinking about anyone that did 20 years it just like went over my head. I couldn't understand it, you know, and then when I got into my teens, you know, to think of anyone doing martial arts for 40 years, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, you know, masters and stuff like that. And it takes an awful lot of commitment. What is it about the martial arts that fuels your passion?
Well, I think, you know, that number one, you have to love it. And then you have to pay the cost of training and not really giving up, you know. And then when you start training and you start loving it, there's a passion behind it that you just got to continue on and on because you want to be the best. And as you're training, it becomes part of your life, and then those around you can see your dedication and your faithfulness to the art.
Very cool. Awesome. Sifu Bob,
Do you have any questions for Master Raul?
You caught me a little off guard. It's
sorry.
Actually really a pleasure to speak with you because you've been training for so long. Now, you're a man of the cloth. Have you ever been confronted by anybody, right wing, left wing, whatever, saying, how can you be a man of the cloth when you're involved in a martial art and the martial way?
Yes, you know what? People are constantly, you know, asking me that. But I don't mix my Christianity with the martial arts. For me, it's an open door, and also it's a talent that God's given to me so that kids that are in trouble, I can share with them, I can talk to them, and I can lead them into the right path. That's how I use my arts.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah, it makes me wonder about the misinterpretation of what martial arts is. I mean,
yes.
We've all heard that, you know, the stereotype of martial arts teaching kids violence and, you know, teaching kids how to hurt people and stuff like that. And, you know, how do you go about explaining to people that martial arts is a way of life and a life of peace as opposed to a life of violence? Is there a specific way that you explain it to people?
Yeah, you know, I share with them that not only it gives peace to my life, but it's a telling gift that God has given to me to be able to share with other people. I get a lot of criticism, but I don't really mind that because when people meet me, you know, face to face, they can see that I don't have an ego about this. I feel that God has given me this gift to Jimmy H. Wu for the last 40-some years, and I've been able to go all over the country, all over the world, and to use it so that I can talk to the kids and reach those kids that can be reached.
Very cool. Very awesome. Now, out of curiosity, do you know who nominated you into the Masters Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think it was Bob, Bob, what was his name? He was
White.
One of the guys that came to, Bob White is one
Bob
of
White?
Them, but Bob Mitchell's the other one.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Very cool. Now, did it come as quite a surprise to you when you got the induction letter or the...
Yes, I couldn't believe it, you know, because you never expect that, you know. I mean, I leave it in God's hands. I mean, I'm not looking for any promotion at all. I mean, I think that God was so neat for me to be inducted into the Martial Art Hall of Fame. And I thank him and I thank you guys because you know what? It's been an honest pleasure and it's been an awesome thing for my life.
Very cool. Well,
the
Masters Hall of Fame is known. Our motto is actually recognizing excellence in the martial arts. And, as ambassadors of the Masters Hall of Fame, Bob and I just want to let you know that, you know, our organization's goal is to recognize you for the work that you do for the community and for your students. And I think it's well-deserved. For the recognition.
Thank you so much.
Well,
it's an honor. To tell you, it's an honor.
Very cool. You're in California, correct? Or
yes, I'm in California. We're gonna be at the Long Beach Arena.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So you're already located in Long Beach?
Yes, they sent me a letter, and they told me to go to the Long Beach. I think one of the hotels at Long Beach, they're going to have the nomination there, and they told me to come.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Hyatt Regency, I think, is the...
Yes, the Hyatt Regency, yes.
Yeah, very cool. But do you live in California?
I live in California. I live in La Verne, California, about 28 miles from Los Angeles east.
Oh, so it's not that far of a drive. Well, how long does it take
about
to get
45
from...
minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna guess in about an hour. Because
you know,
Bob,
you know what
your...
I do every day? Every day I serve. I go to San Clemente. It takes me about 40 minutes. I serve every morning before I go to work.
Wow.
Amazing.
I love surfing,
I
man.
Know. Surfing before work. How cool is that? You know, I just thinking
about doing that here in Seattle. It just makes my toes freeze. It's like, we don't have that kind of water here.
No, it's cold up there.
It is. Except for today. This week is supposed to be like down there. Yeah, this week is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh,
crazy,
my gosh.
Huh?
Yeah, because it never gets like this in Seattle. I mean, we get this maybe every 5 years where we get like this weird heat wave, something's going wrong with the ozone layer or something, and Seattle just gets hit with a heat wave. And no houses here in Seattle have air conditioning.
Yeah. No, you know what? I've been doing that. When I came back from Vietnam, I started going surfing, you know, a long time ago. And it's something that I do physically and mentally so that when I go to work, you know, I'm going to be 67 this year. So when I go to work, I feel not only better, but it gives me more energy. And at the same time, it's something that brings peace to my life, too.
Very cool.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Bob, do you have any other questions for
Master? Yes, I do. Absolutely.
Right on.
Now, one last question.
Yes.
Somebody comes in up to you, youngster, so maybe out of your congregation, and shows interest in the martial arts. What would you tell them about seeking out some place to study?
You know what? I have a class in the church, in the fellowship hall. I have probably about 45 students. They come from the outside into the inside. Our church is not like a regular church. Our church is non-denominational, and I don't wear suits. I wear my Converse, my Levi's, and a nice shirt because we're trying to reach the world, not church people.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And so I tell these young guys when they come to me, you know, make sure that, you know, you learn not to be a bully, but you're learning to be a better person and to really respect not only the martial arts, but the people can have respect for you as you not only learn and then you respect people and they'll respect you.
Very cool.
Wow. Very cool advice.
It is. Very cool advice. Thank you so much for taking the time off of the highway
no problem.
To join us. Yeah, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for the opportunity, you guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Sifu Bob and I always make it a point to personally greet and welcome all of our radio guests to the Masters Hall of Fame. So when you come to the Masters Hall of Fame, you might be seeing me and Bob come into your table.
Awesome. And you know what? When I come, I'm going to take – they made a movie, My Life Story. I'll bring it with me so I can give to you guys. And also, I just finished a film for the veterans that have gone to Iraq and Afghanistan. We just finished our film, Taking the Hill is the theme of it.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That would be an honor to have a copy
Absolutely.
Of the movie of your life. That would be an incredible
honor. I'll bring
it with
me. You guys come up to my table. I'll give it to you guys.
You bet.
Perfect.
We'll come and see
you.
All right.
Thank
you
so
much.
Down from Seattle.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
Thank you, sir. Have a great rest of the evening now.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye. And that was Master Raul Reyes. I think he said Reyes. But, wow, what an awesome guy.
You want to bet something right now? You want to bet something right now that he thinks that we're married and he's going to bring one copy for both of us? Like that other guest thought that we were a husband and wife, didn't realize we were like 1,800 miles away.
I didn't even think about that. But, you know, I
that's
guess that's
why I specifically noted that you were coming down from Seattle. I tried to do a separation.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, what's he doing? So listeners, let's just say right now, me and Bob are not married. He's like my brother. Guess what? Not
right.
Anyhow, well, what a great group of guests. I'm really glad everyone had a chance to call in. Wait, did everyone call in?
We missed Mark Stoner.
Yeah, we missed Mark Stoner. Well, maybe we could get him another show here pretty soon. So tune in next week, listeners, as we have more nominees, hopefully, of the Masters Hall of Fame on our show. So keep your eyes peeled on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page to see who our guests are. Everyone have a great rest of the evening now. Bye-bye. Bye, Bob.
Bye-bye. Happy birthday.
you.